Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
I don't often say this, but my next guest could well change your life, or at the very least, significantly change your mindset about the inevitable ups and downs of life. You've no doubt heard the saying, failure is not an option. It's a favourite of sporting captains, sporting fans, bosses, and people often admirably bristling with ambition for success. But the truth is, with all the best will in the world, all the power of positive thinking you can muster, success isn't always a given. So it's quite a relief to see a bit of reality injected into this kind of question with this statement: failure is an option. How setbacks breed success. It's the title of a book by Australian author, broadcaster and journalist Terry Robson, which is not about making us all a pack of losers, but just a bit more real. And we love being real here on Open House. Terry Robson, welcome.
Hi, Lee.
Great to have you with us. I'm sure you realise you're swimming against a fairly heavy tide that's obsessed with both success and winning, often at any cost in our society.
I am, historically. I think we've gone through a period in the Western world where success has been our only goal, and that phrase, failure is not an option, has come into being because of that. But I actually do think there's an appetite at the moment to talk, get real.
Yeah.
Because if you only look at success, you're looking at a very small portion of life. You know, I'm a parent.
That teaches you a lot.
That's right. I know what, you know, you fail regularly.
Yeah, absolutely.
We all fail. This is the thing. And I think there is an appetite abroad now. If you look at what's happening in America, even through their media, with the confessional type culture that's going on, where people are coming out and saying, hey, look, I stuffed up. I don't do this well. I think there is growing awareness that, you know, that old parable that we all use, we're all like ducks, smooth on top but paddling like the Dickens underneath.
But it does go against our kind of instinctive characters, because we just hate failing.
We do, and I think we need to then look at what is it we're hating. What is it about failure that is so damaging to us? And I think one of the issues, and I try to bring this out in the book, is that when we fail, we take that as a mark of ourselves, and we assume that people are looking at us failing and saying, well, that person is a B or C because they failed there. And part of what I try to encourage people to do is to say, well, look, when a failure occurs, you were there, you were part of it, but there were a million things impacting on that moment when failure happened. And I interviewed George Ogilvie, the theatre director, yes, in this book. He's a fantastic man.
Yes.
Very deep man, done a lot of things in his life. And he made the point that if you're an actor, how can you work if you can't deal with failure? Because how can you, when you go to an audition, if you take not getting a part as a sign that you're not a good actor, that's it. You can only go to one audition.
That's true, too.
In your career, yes, you've got to realise that there's a lot of factors.
And that applies to all of us, really.
It does.
Parents especially, as you say.
Every moment in life. Cast your mind back over the day. I'm saying this to the listeners, to you too.
Yeah, right? Sure.
Whatever happened today, when did you fail? Did you get angry?
Yep.
You know, in the car, did you say something that was not appropriate to someone? At that moment, there are a lot of things impacting you. You may have been tired. Someone may have done something else to you. So there are a lot of, and someone may have genuinely wronged you. Who knows? Mm. But a lot of factors influence that moment. It doesn't mean that you are a worthless person.
No.
Or that in the case of the actor, you can't act. And so you need to say, this is failure, is not me. It's a circumstance.
When did this light bulb moment come for you when you got this?
You know, I was researching another book on attitude, and that hopefully is still going to be written.
Good.
And
it's as good as this one.
Looking at, positivity and...
Yes.
And how you can change your thought, because that's a fairly big call. We all talk about the need to be positive, and the book was going to be about, and probably still will be, how you work with your mind.
Yes.
I think that's a very powerful thing. Indeed. In life. But as I was working through it, I came across this phrase that we've all heard, you know, failure is not an option. And I was looking at, what are we trying to be positive about? If you're trying to be positive, why are you trying to be positive? You're trying to be positive because moments of failure will occur.
Yes, indeed.
Failure, I realise, and this was the light bulb for me, failure is the staple of life. And if you're not prepared and ready to deal with failure, you're not prepared to live.
It's a very interesting insight. You say that failure is a kind friend.
Yes.
Can I just offer you this insight that it doesn't feel like it when it happens?
No, that's right. Look, sometimes you need to be pushed in the mud to realise that you can stand up. Or there's a whole lot of other things failure offers you. And most of the people that I interviewed in this book have talked about the fact that when a failure occurs, sometimes it's because you're in a place you shouldn't be, and it's actually pointing that out to you, and you're pointed in another direction that is far better for you. It's also an enormous opportunity. When you fail, you have this chance to say, where am I? What have I done that has brought me to this point?
Kind of a stock take.
It is.
Yes.
And that's a great thing. That is the gift of failure.
Yeah.
To have a moment in life where you can stop and look at yourself and say, I made decisions that led me to this point. Are those decisions I'm happy with? If I am, then I'll keep going along that road. But if I'm not happy with those, if somehow I got derailed in my life and I got led down pathways that I didn't really want to be led down, now I've got a chance to recheck where I am.
So a lot of our attitude towards success or failure is determined by our expectations, really, isn't it?
Expectations. And you get a chance to look at your expectations, because they do shape the nature of your life. Where did they come from? Was it a teacher that said something to you? Obviously, parents have a big influence.
All too powerfully.
All too powerfully, and I'm aware of that as a parent. You don't want it too strongly shaped, yet you want to guide. It's a real balancing act. So you've got expectations that have been implanted in you. Where are they, and where have they come from? And one of the keys of dealing with failure is knowing yourself, knowing who you are. It's a bit like, I use the analogy in the book of, it's if you want to sail, you don't wait until a gale's blowing to get onto your ship for the first time.
Yep.
So if you want to cope with a failure, you need to know your ship, and your ship is your mind.
Mm.
So self-awareness, knowing who you are.
Honesty about that.
Self-honesty about that. And this is where failure is a good friend. It's a brutal friend, but it's a good friend, because failure is honest.
Yeah.
It's you can't deny failure.
No.
When something happens, you don't get the job you wanted. You've got to look at, well, okay, what? Why didn't I? Maybe I didn't want that job after all. Maybe I'm not actually qualified for that job, you know. Or there's all sorts of things you get a chance to look at. It's tough, but it's so empowering if you can do it without taking or using failure as a self-disintegration thing.
It's a great insight. I want to get to a few of your real-life stories, which are very powerful, but I think you're also in very good company when you speak about this. Hugh Mackay, social researcher, he told a happiness conference that sadness, disappointment and grief spark more personal growth than happiness. That's what you're on about.
Yeah.
Winston Churchill defined courage as this: going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. So what a gift is that?
Enthusiasm, that's a wonderful thing to say. And that's the thing, to be able to... it was Rudyard Kipling, I think, who said, if you can greet these two imposters the same, then the world is yours.
Yeah.
And this is success and failure are just different ends of the same spectrum. It's a bit like that yin and yang symbol. You know, nothing, no event, nothing that happens in life is in and of itself singular.
Mm.
Life is always in a constant flux and flow. And so even when you are succeeding, you need to be reminding yourself, this too will pass.
Yes.
This is not permanent.
The interesting open house question that is raised in this is that this kind of perspective is shaped not only by our expectations, but by our values. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's what your values are the things that guide your actions. Your values are the things that you put value on. So this is where, you know, failure helps you evaluate those values, because they've led you somewhere. But your values are the things that are important to you. And if what's important to you, if your value in life lies in living with compassion and love for yourself and for others, if you don't get a job, what does that matter?
Yeah. Yep.
So
what a perspective to have.
I know that might sound a bit utopian,
but it can be very practical too.
Well, it is, because what your values give you, getting back to that ship analogy, is the rudder for your life.
Mm.
And if these are the important things, the things that guide you are, whatever they are, love, compassion, which I would regard as the fundamentals.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's me. Other people would have different focuses, but your values shape how you deal with things. If your values are, I want to look good to other people, then failure is going to be shattering.
Yeah. Good luck with that one.
That's right.
Yes. On Open House, we're with Terry Robson, author of Failure is an Option, How Setbacks Breed Success. Terry, I guess this perspective in thinking about this and reading your book is it's somewhat similar, I thought, to looking almost at events in our lives in hindsight. So I often say, well, hindsight's a good thing, but it's often only then that you get the real perspective of how these events fit into a bigger kind of picture. What do you think about that?
It is. Look, I think it's a time for reflection, failure, and that's very valuable. But as I was saying before, I think the most important thing about being able to cope with failure is the preparation that you have done. And really, dealing with failure is the way you deal with everything that happens in life. Mm. And this gets back to knowing yourself, knowing your mind, knowing how it operates, and knowing that when a failure occurs, this is what my mind is going to do. And what my mind does will be different to yours.
Yes.
Knowing that is immensely powerful. So hindsight, looking back and evaluating is very valuable. But the real key, I think, to living, and this is when you said, when was the light bulb moment? When I kind of realized, look, how you deal with failure is how you deal with life, because it's so fundamental.
Yes.
And so if you are able to deal with failure happily, what a powerful way to live.
It's a gift. Mm. I just keep thinking, what a gift of an insight. It also sets us up for a softer landing instead of sinking into that kind of despondency and depression if I don't get the job or if things don't turn out.
Yeah, and look, I try as far as possible to be fairly practical with the book. And making that landing soft is really important, because there are undeniably things that will happen in life that hurt.
Yep.
It could be someone might leave you, and you know that might be the right thing to happen. The relationship might not be the best one, but it's going to hurt. So I think when a failure happens, you need to have some plans to make that landing as gentle as it can be. A rough outline of that would be, I think a good thing if you can do it immediately after the failure has happened is go somewhere where that is different. Like if you go to a suburb you have never been to, sit in a cafe for a day. And I'm saying that because what you want to do is you want to get your mind off the tracks that it normally runs down.
Hmm,
get yourself seeing different things. Just give your mind a chance to get into a different space. Write down a list of 7 things that you contributed to the failure.
That's where the honesty comes in.
And I really put the emphasis on you, because one of the big pitfalls when failure happens is to blame. It is the most disempowering thing in this life to blame another person.
Yes, I'm common to every failure I have.
That's it. You're the common factor. And yeah. When I say write down 7 points, try and be as honest as you can.
Yeah.
I usually advise to discard the first 2, because you're probably being soft with yourself at that point. Discard the last 2, you're making it up by then. Look at the center 3. I reckon in those center 3 points, you've probably been pretty real. And then say, okay, this is what I contributed to that failure. Am I happy with that, or do I need to change those? And if I need to change those, how do I go? So that landing is pain. You've dealt with the pain, you've felt the pain, but you've given yourself a way to move on, and that's the important thing.
What great advice. One of the things I do love about your book is that it's not just expressed in cold, hard theory, but in the real lives of a range of really interesting people in the ups and downs of life. Let's deal with a couple. Hmm. Anne McCullough Rennie, tell us her story.
Look, she's a fascinating woman. She's a UK native, moved to Australia, I think, in the 70s, from memory. But her early life, her ambitions were to be an opera singer. And she apparently had quite a good voice. And she went through training at Covent Garden, that kind of thing, but ended up being a stage manager for one of the big companies because, in her words, she just did not know how the industry worked, the opera industry. She just couldn't crack that, and she hadn't taken the time to know it. So she moved to Australia with her husband sometime after that, and she, by that point, was thinking, well, look, I really want to write. You know, and her husband said, well, look, if you want to write, write. And she said, well, I will, but this time I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to learn this industry.
Okay.
I'm going to go into bookstores. I'm going to look at who the agents are that publish the kind of books that I want to write. I'm going to look at what kind of books succeed in that genre. And she really got into it. She learned the laws of the area that she wanted to move into. And this is one of the fundamental things I talk about in the book, that optimism, I think, is not just a blind wishing that things will go well.
No.
It is working out the laws, following those laws, and knowing that if you follow those laws, good things will happen. That's optimism. Mm. And so that's what she did. And she's now a best-selling author. Yes. Internationally. Her books have been published in German and have been best-selling there. And so that's where she's been. And
there's a setback breeding success.
That's right. It pushed her like that. She thought she wanted to be an opera singer.
Yep.
But it pushed her down the path.
Retail king Jerry Harvey is another who's learned a lot of good lessons from the School of Hard Knocks. And notwithstanding his very considerable financial success now, he too knows the value of failure.
He does. And look, Jerry, people probably know Jerry or feel they know him because we hear him.
I do.
We hear him talking quite a lot. And Jerry is like you hear him. He's just straight. He's a fantastic man to talk to.
Yep.
I think he asked me more questions in that interview than I asked him. He was just saying, yeah, what about you, Jerry? What do you think about
that? I'm sure that was useful.
It was. Look, Jerry. Yeah, Jerry learned failure right at the beginning, selling vacuum cleaners door to door. And he said, for every one sale I made, I had 300 people slamming doors in my face. He said, if I wasn't prepared to fail, I would never have succeeded. So he, right from the beginning, appreciated that if you want to get to do things you want to do, you've got to take closed doors along the way. The other moment in that interview that really struck me with Jerry was it was not long after the first global financial crisis. Yeah. I'm not sure if we're about to have another. And Jerry, the estimates were that his personal worth had gone from $2 billion to $1 billion. And I said to him, look, Jerry, how do you feel about that? With my heart in my mouth, I thought, what'll he say? And he said, Terry, who would ever have thought I'd be worth $1 billion?
Uh-huh.
And I thought, there's so much power in that, because what he has the capacity to do, and this is what I found throughout the interview with him, he puts things in perspective. And this is the key to dealing with failure. It's taking a step back from it, thinking this is not about me. Also, he's not someone who, I guess this is a good thing, doesn't necessarily listen to what people are telling him. He goes inside himself and he said, look, I can make this business work. And he went about ways of making that work. And I also talk in the book about intuition. And I think there are times when the world will be telling you, you can't do this. You have failed. This won't work. And you need to access something a little bit beyond the rational. And that's where Jerry backs himself. He's willing to say, no, look, I think I can do this way. And he does it. He goes ahead and does that. Intuition itself is something that I think we slight in the modern world. But if you look at what a lot of people from Jung to lots of philosophers say, intuition is a very powerful thing. Wherever it's coming from, it's a way beyond the rational that helps us get through things. And Jerry Harvey's great at drawing on that. I don't know that he'd talk in terms of intuition, but he does talk about gut feels.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm interested in one particular interview that you had with a Christian minister.
Mm.
And he said that a sense of hope was a vital thing in dealing with failure. What's the connection there? Because I think a lot of what we find in biblical Christianity is kind of counterintuitive for a society like ours, like blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, the meek will inherit the earth. What's hope got to do with this?
I think it is faith. It is faith in the sense that things are as they should be. Mm. And it's knowing that you are in tune with life as it should be. And this is where really dealing with failure is about knowing who you are and knowing if you are off or disconnected from that, the way things should be, and if you're acting in ways that are not true to yourself. So I think hope is not, again, it's a bit like optimism, it is not a speculative thing. It is a knowing. It is a knowing that whatever is happening is the way things need to be happening and that I can surrender to that.
There is that bigger picture.
It is the bigger picture. It's knowing that you are part of something and that, you know, that all things are as they should be.
As I said at the start, it strikes me that this concept of setbacks breeding success, it will never be an instinctive thing. it's definitely a thing we've got to learn and think about and apply. And in particular, you'd say it to parents with kids. It's probably something they've got to teach their kids, not only in what they say, but how they act as well.
In talking about this book, I've been asked quite a lot, what's the implication of this for how you raise children? And I actually think the implication for how you raise children is the same as the implication for ourselves. And that is, with children, they're going to be doing exams. They'll be doing sports. They'll be doing all the things where failure is omnipresent. Yeah. And what we need to be saying to them, it's like that Zen koan, before enlightenment, chopping wood, after enlightenment, chopping wood. Before failure, you are loved. After failure, you are loved.
Yeah.
And I think we need to say that to ourselves as well. But that's what we can give our children. The greatest gift that we can give to our child is to know, for them to know they are completely loved, regardless of what they do, what they say, and that they will be every second, every moment of their life. And if we can do that for ourselves, that is true power.
Because we are loved unconditionally. Terry Robson, it's been a great chat. Thank you so much indeed. It's a wonderful book, wonderful concept. The title of the book is, if you missed it, Failure is an Option, How Setbacks Breed Success. Terry Robson, thank you.
Thank you very much, Lee.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.